Introduction. Have you always wanted to travel to Europe because you are fascinated about seeing the sights, exploring new places, meeting different people, tasting national cuisines, and experiencing other cultures? Do your limited finances hold you back? Don't give up hope. There are many ways to economize, yet get the most out of your travels. In the 1960s, authors wrote books on how to travel Europe for $10 per day. The United States dollar was worth considerably more than European currencies. Nowadays, authors write books on how to travel Europe for $50 or even $100 a day. Some European currencies have become strong as the American dollar. For example, in 2001, a person could exchange 80 cents for 1 euro, but 10 years later, the same consumer needed to pay $1.30 for the same currency. Further statistics from a recent 12-month comparison show the U.S. dollar down 1.5% against the British pound, 15.3% against the euro, 17.2% against the Swiss franc, 18.2% against Norway's kroner, and an amazing 27.5% against the Polish zloty. Nevertheless, it is still possible for people who are willing to be flexible and adventurous to travel off the beaten track in European countries for as little as $10 a day, excluding the airfare to get there and back. This does not mean you'll be roughing it. You can have an enjoyable time and experience a more authentic Europe connected to everyday life than you would in organized tours or succumbing to expensive tourist attractions. However, you will have to slash away at the prices, do without some comforts of life, refrain from buying impulses, travel extremely light, depend on others, and be prepared to share with people you meet. You can have wonderfully exciting experiences that will help you learn about the cultures you encounter. Traveling on a low budget takes courage, stamina, and independence, so you should go while you still have the health, resources, and opportunity. Don't put it off. The trip will be an adventure that most likely will change your life as you become more insightful about the world and humanity. This book presents the basics, but you can add your individual specifics. Let's explore the possibilities together. One's destination is never a place, but a new way of seeing things. Henry Miller. Let's look at the basics of a frugal but enjoyable trip. These essential steps will help you make the most of your money and your time. Chapter 1. Plan your trip. Survey your status of finances and interests. Travel in an off-season time of year, off the beaten path. Check on budget bargain countries and regions. Evaluate alternatives to taking a vacation. Inform your contacts who can provide assistance. Lay out the ground rules. The first step is to examine your budget limitations. Assess your personal lifestyle, preferences, and abilities, and look at your expenses. Budget limitations. Assess how much money you have to spend on a trip to Europe. What amount can you take out of savings? Can you put aside some of your earnings between now and the time you leave on the trip? Can you supplement the cash available in any way? Will you be working on a special project that may be worthy of sponsorship? Who might be interested in financing your project? Even if you have more than enough savings to pay for a trip, you may not want to deplete them. After all, the less you spend, the more you have in the end. Personal preferences, abilities. Are you a person who can rough it, or are you firmly convinced you do not want to forego the comfort of a hotel? You need to know just how much you are willing to sacrifice in order to save money and yet have a wonderful, fulfilling time. Take stock of your personality to decide what kind of a vacation you want to have. Are you tired out from too many pressures and looking forward simply to relaxing on a sunny beach or cruising in a houseboat along inland waterways? Perhaps you are striving for physical activity, like taking walking tours in cities, biking from one destination to another, hiking, skiing in the mountains, playing golf on famous courses, swimming in waters you come across, going horseback riding over hill and dale, or sailing along the rugged coast. Many people are interested in absorbing the arts, such as music, painting, architecture, and drama in museums, cathedrals, symphony halls, opera houses, and theaters. Some like to meet other people and learn about their culture. Another possibility is exploring historical and/or spiritual religious influences on humanity, for which you can explore pilgrim routes, ancient mystery centers, legendary castles, and remains of ancient civilizations. It is possible you have a combination of these things in mind. However, don't make your goals too broad. Visiting major cities in many countries is tempting. Some people think that is the way to judge where they will want to return in the future. However, a major city hardly reflects the life in the whole nation. You will miss so much that each country has to offer if you hurry through. Make do with what you have. Can you put off making a big purchase or save money by buying secondhand? Unless necessary, don't buy new gear. Do with what you have. Rather than give in to the temptation to purchase a new car, house, furniture, or other possessions, allocate some of the money to your trip. Check on the purpose of your trip. Will you be working, studying, or doing something else that perhaps gives you a base of operations in one location from which you make day or weekend tours? Alternatively, will you be moving around to see the sights? The answer to this question will help you plan your itinerary. Base of operations. One approach would be to study the language in a school abroad. After all, complete immersion is the best method for learning a new language. For example, Eurocenter's language schools are particularly budget-worthy. You can learn French in the quiet town of Amboise or La Rochelle, close to the sea. Italian is offered in Florence in the historic quarter near Ponte Vecchio. German is taught in Berlin on Potsdamer Platz. You can become fluent in Spanish in Barcelona, in the heart of the city, Marbella near the old city and beach, and Valencia in the university district. On the move. If you love organ music, you may want to take a tour of the most famous pipe organs in France to hear and play on instruments made by Cavalier Cole, Clicquot, Jean de Joyeuse, Merklin, and Silbermann. Your travels may take you to Alsace, Bordeaux, Languedoc, and Paris. Such a trip could be combined with the organ festival Toulouse-Hougues, held in October. In advance, you might want to write letters or emails to the church organists announcing your particular interest in organ music, intent to visit their churches, and desire to arrange a time to meet them when you visit. Pick an off-season time of year. Summer is a peak for European vacations. It is the most expensive time of year to travel. Countries are crowded with tourists. Alternatively, the whole country may be on vacation, with the result that many establishments will be closed. It is a well-known fact that August is the month when French people typically go on holidays. If you want to meet French people, that's precisely the time to avoid traveling in France. Spring and autumn are less expensive and offer the pleasures of delicate flowers early in the year and colorful leaves later. The weather can be cold and rainy. Winter except for the Christmas season, may be the least expensive, but this time of year can present cold, rainy, snowy conditions, and the days are dark. You may enjoy winter best if you are a hardy person when the fewest tourists are in your way. Of course, that is also the best time of year to participate in skiing sports. Skiing at resorts is expensive, and you may have to be creative about finding an alternative approach. Perhaps cross-country skiing or snowshoeing will appeal to you. Don't forget that one of the principal drawbacks of being in Europe in winter is that many venues are closed from late September or October until the tourist season begins again in the spring. You will get lower airfares and accommodations when you travel in the off-season time of year. You will spend less time in lines, and you will meet more local European people. Decide where you want to go. Greater Europe is 10.18 million square kilometers and comparable to the United States with 9.83 square kilometers in size. Europe has distinct geographic barriers of the Arctic Ocean to the north, Mediterranean Ocean to the south, Atlantic Ocean to the west, and divided from Asia to the east by the watershed divides of the Ural and Caucasus Mountains, as well as the waterways connecting the Black and Aegean Seas. Narrow your focus. Europe offers a myriad of exciting destinations, and it is necessary for you to narrow the scope of where you want to go. Confining your choices will reduce travel costs between non-contiguous regions, and you will have more time for sightseeing. Arm yourself with information, and do not let foreign languages be an obstacle. Arm yourself with information. Get information about the most important places you want to travel. Many sources of information include multiple and individual country guides, hotel and restaurant guides, language phrase books, travel books, hostel information, videos, maps, and the internet. Friends and acquaintances can provide you with additional information. This advice is valuable because it incorporates their personal observations and experiences. Start a notebook and jot down reminders of what you find particularly enticing and details including dates, timetables, names, addresses, telephone numbers, email addresses that may be helpful. Keep track of price comparisons that you discover when shopping so that you know your budgetary options. Carry these notes around with you on your trip because some of these ideas you can implement your plans if these change suddenly. Notes help when plans change. I spent time during 1 year when I was preparing for a trip to Germany and Austria with my late husband, reading guidebooks and researching possible destinations. One area that especially caught my interest was the National Park Jizusa in the northern part of Steiermark, Austria. I discussed the idea with my husband, the possibility of traveling there, but he summarily rejected the idea because he preferred to visit museums and architectural attractions in large cities rather than natural wildlife areas. We followed the itinerary he planned for us in Austria, where we spent a few days in Salzburg, visiting Mozart exhibits and enjoying musical performances. We then drove east along the Danube River, where we stopped at some of the imposing abbeys along the way. Finally, we stayed a while in Vienna, admiring various styles of architecture, and we visited the Gustav Klimt Museum to watch the world-famous dressage-trained Lipizzaner horses at the Spanish Riding School. We listened to an opera at the Wiener Stadtoper. We enjoyed good food on our trip when we drank the year's Heuerdegger wine and ate saturated chocolate Sachertorte, cake topped with a whopping dollop of whipping cream, Schlagschaum, at the famous Sacher Hotel. The Australian sky then was covered with dark, gloomy clouds, and the weather was rainy. We were faced with more cloud cover to the west as we were heading back across Austria. My husband was depressed to think we could not avoid more soggy conditions, and he stopped the car, surveyed the weather patterns in the sky. There was a ray of sunshine peeping through the clouds to the south. My heart skipped a beat as he turned the car in that direction. Just over the horizon was the Jezusa. I got my way after all. We agreed to make the national park our new destination and drove under gradually clearing skies for miles along the Enns River Gorge that cuts deeply through a natural landscape flanked by sheer, rugged, majestic Australian Alps and dominated by wild white waters, craggy rocks, unspoiled alpine pastures, and thickly growing forests. We stopped at a restaurant in the evening for dinner. A local band gathered to perform folk songs, complete with spectacular yodeling. Later, we found a room in an inn with unforgettably cozy accommodations. The next day, we had brilliant sunny skies for the first time in weeks. The ride was picturesque, and my husband was in such a good mood that when we drove back to the highway leading to Salzburg, he stopped the car at the entrance to Jezusa. "That was such a fantastic ride," he exclaimed, and to my great surprise added, "Let's do it again." Thus I got my wish two times instead of not at all, because I had made a note of what I wanted to see. One of my most passionate travel theories is, always set a goal for where you want to go and what you want to see. However, take the attitude that it doesn't matter if you actually reach your goal or not. The adventure on the way matters most. If you don't have a goal, you might still be sitting at home while the world passes by you. English as a foreign language. Consider whether it is important for you to converse only in English or whether you are adventurous enough to use a language phrasebook and sign language when necessary. If you want to confine yourself to English communication, you might think you could focus on a trip through the British Isles. Be advised that even in London you may not be able to understand the people because they often use different terms, unfamiliar pronunciation, or a dialect. People who speak a Cockney dialect, for example, are especially difficult for outsiders to understand. In Ireland, Scotland, and Wales, the same problems arise. Irish Gaelic, a Goidelic language, Celtic, of the Indo-European language family, which originated in Ireland and is the official language of the country, is spoken as a first language by a small minority of the people, and also as a second language for a large part of the population. The form of English spoken in Ireland is Hiberno English, which has a certain sing-song quality. Different regions in Scotland have distinct dialects and indigenous words. The poetry of Robert Burns and others is largely responsible for the survival of older words. Using a dictionary of Scottish words is helpful here. Welsh English consists of the dialects spoken in Wales. These dialects are highly influenced by Welsh grammar and often contain unfamiliar words. There are also heavy accents that are especially noticeable in Cardiff, the South Wales Valleys, and West Wales. Therefore, it doesn't matter where you travel in Europe because you will run across communication problems everywhere. Arm yourself with dictionaries and phrase books, or buy them in the countries you visit. Thankfully, Europeans are making much more effort than we Americans to learn English. You will find many younger people so eager to practice their English that you won't be able to learn their language from them. Difficulty with the English language. One of my experiences with a foreign dialect of English was the time I relocated to Edinburgh, Scotland, when my job as the editor-in-chief for the National Word Processing and Information Systems magazine folded in 1984. I thought that I would have no trouble understanding the local people because, of course, they speak English. I was shocked to find the language was completely incomprehensible at first. I had to keep asking people to repeat or define their words until their sentences became intelligible to me. When I thought I could understand the language well, I bought tickets for a Bobby Burns play to learn more about the Scottish culture. When the play began, I could not understand anything the actors said. I leaned forward in my seat, strained my ears, and I concentrated on catching individual words. It was such a useless exercise that I had to excuse myself from the theater during the first intermission. I concentrated on local dialogue and never attended a play in Scotland again. English is less widespread in Eastern Europe. People have not had the opportunity to learn a foreign language, or they had to study one other than English. For example, while the eastern part of Germany was under communist control, it was mandatory that students learn Russian. The same is true for many people in the former Russian bloc countries. However, this situation is changing gradually. Eastern European countries are striving to become competitive on the world market and realize the benefits of their citizens speaking English. Now English is being taught in many of their schools and infrastructure development programs. Therefore, you will meet a growing number of people who speak various levels of English. Whether they speak it well enough for you to understand is another matter. Check on budget bargain countries and regions. Get off the beaten track. Avoid the places where most tourists go. Select largely ignored remote vacation spots that are less expensive, have their own charm, and offer interesting attractions. You will find both bargain countries and economical regions. Here are just a few examples of the many enticing places. Bargain countries. At the time of writing this book, budget bargain countries include the Balkan states in southeastern Europe, Albania, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Bulgaria, Croatia, Greece, Macedonia, Montenegro, Serbia, and European Turkey, Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland, and Romania. These countries have rich heritage worth exploring. Here are some examples. Bulgaria. The continent's oldest state, Bulgaria's history goes back to a sophisticated ancient society that produced some of antiquity's finest gold artifacts and the gladiator Spartacus. Its topography ranges from white sandy beaches to snow-capped mountains. Its colorful culture blends the ancient with the modern. The food can be described as a blend of Greek and Middle Eastern. Greece. The Greek government, for its 2011 budget, made deep spending cuts. However, because tourism is such important business in Greece, the government reduced its value-added tax on the tourism industry from 11 to 6.5%. The country's recent financial crisis also means savings for visitors. Therefore, this is a particularly good time to visit Greece. Malta. In the heart of the Mediterranean, you are able to find consistently pleasant weather on the island of Malta. Increasingly, it is popular as a low-cost destination in Europe. Malta offers friendly people and an active nightlife, as well as opportunities for sightseeing and scuba diving. Austria, Germany, Italy, Switzerland, Alps. Vacations in the Alps represent one of Europe's greatest values. You may bring along your own boots for hiking, rent skis and gear for the slopes, or borrow snowshoes for cross-country treks on well-marked trails. Mountain huts offer cheap beds and reasonable, tasty menus. The scenery is also spectacular. Croatia, Plitvice Lakes. If you love nature, you will not want to miss the Plitvice National Park, one of the most beautiful natural sites in Europe. The park, containing a system of 16 interlinked lakes and a large forest, was named to the UNESCO World Heritage List in 1979. The lakes, which run in a north-south direction, are separated into upper and lower clusters. Rainwater runoff from the mountains descends about 70 feet from lake to lake over a distance of some 8 kilometers. The lakes are constantly changing in colors due to the quantity of minerals or organisms in the water and the angle of the sun. Czech Republic, Moravia. This area is located to the south of Bohemia, is a perfect place to take a wine tour, go biking, or drive between old-age villages flanked with vineyards and sample the spirits and sights along the way. Prized are the area's white and ice wines. Moravia is not as expensive as traditional wine regions like Provence in France or Tuscany in Italy. France, Loire Valley. This valley straddles the namesake river and contains some of the most beautiful Renaissance castles and chateaux that France has to offer. Biking through the Loire is one of the more popular activities, and long paths follow the river and climb into the neighboring hills. The cities, which have fascinating backgrounds, offer many historical buildings, intricately designed churches, and museums. Orleans is proud of its Joan of Arc history. Germany, Berlin. In a way, Berlin is an anomaly, because it is a sprawling capital city and flooded with tourists. Nevertheless, it is known to be much cheaper than any other major Western European city. The city offers hundreds of museums and galleries, as well as thousands of restaurants, shops, and nightclubs. There is no shortage of things to do and see. Going to nightclubs is a Berliner's way of life. It is a terrific way to hear the city's latest music and see fashion on display. The city's Berlin Welcome Card, good for 48 or 72 hours, offers free public transportation and half-price admission to more than 130 attractions. Greece, Greek Islands. Famed picturesque whitewashed houses, blue-domed churches, cocky windmills, and romantic sandy beaches surrounded by sparkling sapphire seas is a drawing card for the Greek islands. Choose the small ones and avoid or just pass by those that are famous like Mykonos and Santorini, where the cost of living is higher. One recommendation is Tinos in the Kyklades. It offers a beautiful, relaxed atmosphere, and most tourists are Greek. On Crete, you save money in the south as opposed to the north. You might want to rent a Vespa scooter for a day so that you can get to some remote places not visited by tourists. Italy, Cinque Terre. One of the best-kept travel secrets is northern Italy's coastal region of Liguria, where 5 tiny seaside villages compose the Cinque Terre region. Corniglia, Manarola, Monterosso, Rio Maggiore, and Vernazza are proud villages perched above the sea that are surrounded by vineyards. Life is laid back, and pastimes are simple when you can walk from one village to the next.